What happens when the person who leaves for war isn't the same one who returns? Jolene Zarkadis appears to have it all, a loving family, a prestigious career as a Black Hawk helicopter pilot in the National Guard, and the inner strength forged from surviving a traumatic childhood. But beneath the surface, her 12-year marriage to Michael is crumbling. Their relationship fractures completely when Michael delivers devastating words just days before Jolene receives deployment orders to Iraq. "I don't love you anymore." As she prepares to leave, he twists the knife deeper. What kind of mother would choose to leave her children? These accusations haunt Jolene as she boards a plane for war, creating an impossible choice between her identity as a soldier and as a mother. In Iraq, Jolene crafts two separate narratives of her experience. To her family, she sends cheerful emails about the weather and dining facilities, carefully avoiding any mention of danger. Meanwhile, in her private journal, she records her true experiences. "I think I'm going to die here in Iraq." She holds the hand of a dying soldier, begging her to tell his wife he loves her. She participates in solemn hero missions, transporting fallen soldiers' remains. This dual narrative creates a profound disconnect. While Jolene believes her lies protect her family, they actually prevent genuine connection during their limited communications. When mortars strike her base, nicknamed Mortaritaville, and bullets narrowly miss her helicopter, she keeps these realities hidden, widening the gap between her war experience and her family's understanding of it. Michael's transformation from disinterested spouse to engaged father forms one of the story's most compelling arcs. Before Jolene's deployment, he's chronically absent, missing his daughter's events for work and forgetting important family milestones. When suddenly thrust into single parenthood, his first morning alone with the girls devolves into chaos, burning coffee, serving cereal instead of promised clown pancakes, and discovering his teenage daughter still asleep minutes before her bus arrives. Through these daily struggles, Michael begins to appreciate what Jolene managed so effortlessly. A pivotal moment comes when he must handle his daughter Betsy's first period, a milestone Jolene should have shared with her. Utterly unprepared, he fumbles through buying feminine products while his 4-year-old loudly chants, "Period, period, period," in Walmart. By the time tragedy strikes, he's become the father his daughters need, even as he realizes how much they all still need Jolene. The turning point arrives when Jolene's helicopter is shot down during a night mission near Fallujah. Despite severe injuries, she manages to pull her best friend Tommy from the wreckage before losing consciousness. When Michael receives the news, his world stops. Left alone after the military notification officer departs, he imagines life without Jolene. The funeral, raising the children alone, facing their friends as a widower who let his wife go to war with harsh words between them. In this moment of potential loss, Michael finally recognizes the truth. He had been a fool to say he didn't love her. Meanwhile, Jolene awakens in a German hospital to discover her right leg is a horrifying mess, swollen, blackened, held together by metal screws with bone protruding at the ankle. She learns that her crew member didn't survive the crash, while Tommy has suffered a traumatic brain injury. When doctors later amputate her leg at the knee, Jolene faces not just physical recovery, but the loss of her identity as both a soldier and a whole person. Jolene's homecoming reveals that physical wounds often heal more quickly than psychological ones. Despite her family's elaborate preparations, a colorful Welcome Home Mommy banner and flowering plants, Jolene feels disconnected from everything she once loved. The simplest tasks exhaust her, and her wheelchair barely fits in the kitchen. When she attempts to make breakfast for her daughters and fails spectacularly, she explodes in frustration, showing Betsy her missing leg. This is a tragedy. Being late to school is not. Most terrifying are the violent nightmares that plague her nightly. During one episode, she punches Michael in the eye while screaming about perimeters and mayday calls. When she wakes to find her daughter standing in the doorway, frightened, she asks Michael, "Are they safe with me?" Her PTSD manifests in other ways, too. When a door slams, she throws herself to the ground, suddenly back in Iraq under attack. Jolene's isolation deepens when she learns she'll never fly again. She retreats to her bedroom with wine and sleeping pills, hearing her family laughing and living without her. How could Michael love her now when he stopped loving her at her best? Jolene's turning point comes through two unexpected sources, Keith Keller, a young veteran, and Dr. Cornflower, a Vietnam veteran therapist. When Michael defends Keith in court for killing his wife during a PTSD episode, his words resonate. Keith Keller is no monster. Keith is us. Afterward, Keith offers wisdom that strikes deep. Don't be who you needed to be over there. Come home to the people who love you. Through therapy, Jolene realizes the military provided the structured family her alcoholic parents never did. When she struggles with her identity after losing her leg and career, Dr. Cornflower helps her see that healing comes through helping others. This insight leads her to Sarah Marin, a young Marine who lost both legs in Iraq. At Walter Reed Medical Center, listening to Sarah's fears, Jolene rediscovers her purpose. Meanwhile, Jolene's relationship with her daughters improves. In a poignant conversation with Betsy, Jolene acknowledges she's changed, but apologizes for her behavior since returning. Their reconciliation culminates in Betsy's tearful words, "I love you, Mom, to the moon and back. I should have said it when you left." After Tommy dies from her injuries, Jolene faces the loss of her friend and her promise to help raise Tommy's son, Seth. At the funeral, Jolene stands as an honorary pallbearer despite her physical pain, while helicopters roar overhead in tribute. Later, with a new prosthesis, she joyfully discovers she can skip again, something she hadn't done since childhood. On her deck, watching her family play, Jolene finally opens Tommy's "In Case I Die" letter. Tommy writes about their friendship, asks Jolene to care for Seth and help him remember his mother. She urges Jolene to fight her lifelong sadness, to live fully, promising she still has her six. When Betsy brings her a yellow ribbon from the beach, Jolene releases it to the wind before taking her daughter's hand and joining her family, symbolizing her readiness to leave the war behind and embrace home. True heroism isn't about perfect strength, but continuing forward despite brokenness. Sometimes the greatest courage is choosing to love again when everything in you wants to retreat. The battles within our hearts often require more bravery than those on distant battlefields.